The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 23rd of September, 2017. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out the winner's circle. As I said today, we had Mike Gillette on just before. We'll bring Chris Vaccio in shortly. The winner's circle is 13 modules, but it's 13 modules that have been done here at my garage gym where we've trained people, and it's 15 years here that I've done the majority of this stuff, and we've got tons of material to put on the winner's circle because it wasn't just going to end at 13 modules. But, you know, the question you got to ask, like everybody, and we were talking about this today on the show, Mike and I, it's like so many people shake their heads yes, but they don't take action. It's like, I wish this, I wish that, you know, could it be easier? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you three things why you should do this. Number one, I'm going to pull this thing right up now. Now, I talk about this where I say, not only will you get strong, but it'll destroy old age. Because when we bring Chris in, I'm going to ask him this question. But these are the three things that we lead right off with. Because being strong is not an option, it's a requirement. Now, everybody looks at strength in a different way, but would you rather be walking around strong and able just to do basic things, like how about tie your shoes? Seriously, you don't have to go lift a 400-pound stone. No one is asking you that. But strength is a requirement. Number two, because being stronger puts you in a position to pursue your specific goals. If you're falling asleep at the wheel, what good are you going to be to anything? And the third one is because strength, when applied, will make you a decisive, tireless, confident superhero. Think about that. How many people are sitting on the fence in their life? We talked about that today. One of the things I've been really studying, too, is all the mental reconstruction I'm doing in the subconscious mind right now. And the thing we talked about today on the show was called fixed or by choice. Now, fixed is basically letting society outside structure you. And how many people are like that? Real structure is built from the inside out, and that's where you make choices. Life is about choices, okay? All right, now, secondly, contributions to the show. You have a $25, $50, and $100 one that goes straight to my PayPal account when you click that box. Now, the $25 one gets you the beginning, which is the first module on the winner's circle. The second gets you the beginning and a half hour of time with me free, because coaching is a big thing, we know, but you got to be very careful who your coach is too. And of course, the $100 one is the beginning, and you get two free half-hour sessions with me, and I will talk with you about anything. You buy the product, we'll go right through the product, A to Z, I promise you. So, I thank you in advance, and we can always use the financial help, believe me, because we've done mega things for people. But here's something we always do, and I've been doing this for about a month and a half now, and been getting great feedback. I tell people to stand up, but I say, I've had people send me notes that I was sitting down. Fine. Whatever makes you feel comfortable, take a deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth, and say, I am a winner, I am a champion. Mike and I talked about that because we talked so much about the mental energy and what's going on with you. I've had people like, that doesn't work. Well, you know what? Keep thinking that. Keep thinking that you're nothing or letting people tell you that. See how far you're going to go. Say those two phrases for 4 weeks, and I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to see a change in your life. It's going to take you more than 4 weeks, but you know what's going to happen? You're going to get some confidence to start stomping this bullshit out of your life that's been force-fed to you from the outside. Take me to task on that. I guarantee you that. Secondly, well, thirdly, fourthly, we are. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Just go out and look at all the shows Chris and I have done. As everyone knows, on the 27th of this month, we will be celebrating 3 years on the air. If you know the history of podcasting, they last 1 month usually. And there are exceptions out there besides myself, but I'm going to give myself a pat on the back and say, you know what? If I listened to all the naysayers, I wouldn't be speaking to Chris tonight right now. So think about that. I'm telling you right now. Also, too, if you'd like our free newsletter, go right out to motivationmuscle.com. You can sign up right on the very top of the page. That will take you directly to my MailChimp account, and you will be on there. If you see anywhere else to sign on, it is not going to get to me. So go out and do that. And as I say, 30 years, man. 30 years of authenticity. No bullshit. As I said, we got Chris Vaccio on, and I want to give you a little information on Chris. Number one, he's a strong man, power lifter, bodybuilder, and he's a competitive lifter. And also, too, if you've seen him, he's very much involved in the disabled strongmen. We have a few of the guys on here, Jeff King and Gary Clark. And I know down the road we'll have more. It's just right now I am very, very busy building the business from the inside out, and it's a daunting task, believe me. But we are up for it. Chris, welcome back to the show, brother.
Hey, Eric. Glad to be back on.
I'm glad to have you. Anything I missed, put it out there. And we're going to talk about injury and surgery rehab. And if the last show Chris was on, if you didn't hear it, you should go back and get it. Chris had to have some major surgery, not only bicep, but, you know, the good old shoulder. You know, things, when shoulders go bad, you got problems. And everybody wants to put it off. But eventually, you know, it'll freeze up on you, or you'll lose so much power on the one side, and it forces you to do something about it. And I can't wait to hear what Chris did, and I know that he's much further along today because we spoke, obviously, offline. So, Chris, anything I missed, websites, whatever, add that, and let's get right into the topic of today, please.
All right. Yeah. No, we're all good there. So for those of you that didn't listen in the last show, I think it was end of May, I think I was working on some pretty heavy axle cleans, and I ripped two out of the four muscles in the rotator cuff, supraspinatus and infraspinatus, just blew up, full thickness tears. So it's kind of, I don't know, I would almost say lucky in a way, as far as I couldn't put it off. There was no putting this one off. You know, with it blowing up like that, the doctor looked at the MRI and said that my proximal biceps tendon looked horrible.
Yep.
And he gave me a choice on it. He's like, hey, look, we can either go in and fix it now while we're already in there.
Yep.
For those of you that aren't up on your anatomy, both the supraspinatus and infraspinatus come through across the top of the back, through your scapula,
yep,
and attach on the front side of the humerus. So it was actually, I thought I tore my proximal bicep at first when I did it, because that's where all the pain was. But, you know, the doctor's like, hey, look, we can either fix it now, or you can come back in a year after you tear it, and we can fix it then. And I'm like, nah, let's go ahead and do it now.
Yeah. I mean, you know something, Chris, that's a no-brainer, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why do you want them coming in and poking around on you again, you know, and then you're laid up? But, yeah. Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean – proceed.
I'm always more of a less is more in the surgery front.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Take care of it all in one shot and not have to put my big ass out again. I'm really happy.
And not only that, those are areas that, as everybody knows, they don't always heal up, and surgery isn't always successful. I mean, I remember when I went in for my left bicep, you know, the first thing they tell you is, and, you know, you're sitting there when they say it, and he's like, you know, I'm asking him question after question, and the guy's probably like, I wish this fuck would leave, you know? And I say to him like this, have you ever had any failures? Because I was like, fuck this, I'll go to somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, we've never had anybody fail, but there could always be a first. And I was like, I like to get up with my right arm and give you a fucking forearm shiver right to the head, you know? But go ahead, Ted. I mean, you know, when you're like, hey, look, when that happened in Iceland, I told you, I think, and everybody else, I didn't care if my head was hanging off my shoulders. The first thing I asked the doctor was, am I ever going to lift again? I didn't care about anything else, man. It was like, that's my gig, man. I can't do it now. And he was like, yes, you will. And that was the end of it. But you know the deal. Because, I mean, all right, so you had the injury. They went in. You had successful surgery. Mm-hmm. Roll us forward now. How did they proceed with you from there?
Well, they gave me the standard rehab schedule. And, do nothing, don't move. And I'm like, I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, I stayed off of it a little bit. I tried, just doing some of the minimal movement stuff that I had read up on. And I was doing things as much as I possibly could to train otherwise.
Yep.
9 days post-surgery, I was out pulling my truck. So, I just threw a belt on.
Yep.
So, here I am in a sling on one arm, truck strapped to me, and there I go. But, I needed to do something to work my legs because I knew I couldn't put a bar across my back. And I've lived on a pretty steady diet of belt squats and sled drags.
Yep.
Last several months. I'll start doing some back squats again this coming week.
Oh, cool.
And get back to that. I picked up a almost 600-pound yoke today just to see how it felt.
Damn.
Felt fine. So I'm feeling pretty good about squatting again.
Yep.
But really the big thing that I did was I didn't completely ignore the doctors and the physical therapist's advice. I took it under advisement. But what I see people doing all the time is not testing their limits.
Right.
Okay, it's like the doctor says, okay, you shouldn't be able to do this or that or the other. And they just take that on faith and don't test anything.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm just like, okay, the pain is lessening. So maybe I can reach forward just a little bit. And I had a lot of advice from a lot of good people. I did talk to Chris Melton a little bit.
Cool.
And my friend Jim Seitzer, I talked to him. He's the band bell guy.
Yep.
And a few other, several other friends, locally and all around. And just to try and, basically all the smartest people I could find, just like, okay, put together my actual battle plan as opposed to what they're telling me from the medical folks.
Sure.
And it was, a good friend of mine who's been involved in some of these surgeries from the medical side, who's like, dude, you're not going to unhinge it.
No.
He said, they act like it's the most fragile thing in the world. He said, but to test whether or not the anchors took, he said, post-surgery, they're yanking your arm all over the place every which way to make sure it stayed put.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like, so unless you're doing something really, really stupid,
right?
You're not going to dislodge it. So that gave me a lot of confidence too.
Sure, sure.
I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to screw up the anchors. And so I push things a little bit. I mean, one day I'm sitting in my car, I've got the sling on, but I can still move within the sling. And I'm looking up at a handle on my truck, and I'm like, I think I might be able to reach that. So, and it took like maximum willpower, and it took, it was almost a max effort lift.
Yep.
It didn't hurt, but just to will my arm to move. But I moved it, and it went. And as soon as I was able to reach up and just grab that, it was just like at shoulder height.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, okay, I can do that, and that was probably a week and a half post-surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and so I'm just moving things around as best I can. And so it's like I take the medical advice under advisement. The thing that gets me is all of their data is based on normal people.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, so they've got somebody who doesn't have, 30 pounds of muscle surrounding his
shoulder. Exactly. Exactly.
they've got some older lady that, you know, tore it somehow, and she's got, you know,
nothing.
A couple pounds. She doesn't lift. She's not, the right. joint's not strengthened. The surrounding muscle is not strengthened. And so it's a completely different animal.
Yeah. So, and you know what I think too, not to interrupt you, I'll get right back to it. I think too, you know, you're right on the money with what they're basing their findings on, because you're not going to find many people like you walking through the door. Let's be honest, all right?
This is true. Yeah. So, this is absolutely true.
So right away, there's going to be kind of a what if, you know, and we're going to tell them everything, because I remember when I started back squatting, I went out and got a safety squat bar. I wanted to have my arms in front of me, and I wasn't nervous about her, Anthony, but I'll tell you, the biggest nervousness I had, if anything, it was the first time I did a strict barbell squat. Or a barbell curl, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I was friggin' a little bit nervous, man, because you know what? I remember when I did that first curl, and I literally almost dropped the bar, right? And I'm like, is my arm all right? Is my arm all right? And my arm was fine, and that was the end of it, all right? But, you know, and I want to get right into this, but tell everybody too, I mean, and I want to get into this more as we go along in the show. There is a mental thing that goes on with you though.
Oh,
and absolutely. Yeah, and people don't get this. So tell everybody a little bit, you know, the injury, now you want to get better, now you're like, okay, I'm a caged fucking monster here, and I want to start using my arm again. But tell everybody a little bit, you are going through stuff, because I know I did, man, and I it's something you have to learn to get over, because an injury like this, I remember a buddy of mine who was a great Olympic lifter, and he hurt his lower back,
mm-hmm.
and it got fixed. I'm sure it was fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get to that point, and this is what I was always wondering with my arm, and I got by it. He got to that point, and this is no bull, suddenly he'd pull up with another injury. And after about three or four of them, now I'm saying to myself, this guy is mentally fucked right now. Can he come back?
Yeah.
He never did. He don't get me wrong, he was a good lifter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was fear or he lost the taste. The blood was gone. The taste of blood was gone in his mouth. But some people never recover. So I was kind of long-winded, but take it away.
Yeah, no, I actually had a great lesson of that years ago with another surgery.
Okay.
I had my left ACL replaced long time ago, when I was 20, 21.
Yep.
I blew it because I was an idiot. I decided on like maybe 3 or 4, maybe 3 weeks training, you know, just, you know, rolling around wrestling.
Yep.
That I was going to jump back into it, you know, competitive wrestling again, and yeah, you know, because there was a tournament, and it turns out it's one of the biggest freestyle tournaments in the country at the Ohio State Fair. People come from all over.
Yep.
And I had kind of forgotten that, and so I jumped into that. You know, my mental thinking was, you know, hey, I'm a lot bigger and stronger than I was back when I wrestled in high school.
Yep.
These bigger guys aren't going to know what to do with a guy that can shoot. And so, you know, in theory, that was true, except for
on the mat, right?
the first guy I got up against was like the Olympic alternate to the Greco-Roman wrestling team.
Okay.
Yeah, so that didn't end well for me. he was also up to, you know, he normally cut down to like 160.
Yep.
And just happened to be floating around at 180 something. So yeah, I took a moral victory that I even took him into the second period.
Right, exactly.
And before he tech fouled me. But so the second guy I get up against was exactly what I expected. He had no idea how to defend a shot. I was up on him by a pretty ridiculous number of points, just, you know, taking shots, taking him down, cutting him loose. And then he grabbed a hold of my right leg.
Mm-hmm.
I hopped to get my balance, and my left knee blew up.
Ooh.
So,
yeah.
And it was mostly, I mean, it was a combination of just freak accident and a combination of the fact that I was not in shape to be out there wrestling.
Yep.
And so I chalk it up mostly to my own stupidity.
Yep.
I mean, there is the freak aspect of it as well.
Yep.
So that I ended up getting that replaced with a patellar tendon graft, which is the longest recovery from a an ACL replacement, but also tends to be the strongest.
Yep.
And but I was terrified to cut, like to run and cut on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was absolutely terrified to run and cut. I had already finished my PT. I finished my PT way early with my – I freaked out the PT then too. I finished my PT probably 4 months ahead of schedule.
Wow.
And not only was I within 1% of my left knee was within 1% strength of the right knee, or the right leg after I finished my own rehab. The right leg was actually 10% stronger than it started.
Wow.
So I made a much better recovery than what the guy thought was possible. In fact, he asked me what all I had done, and I, gave him detailed notes. Because he's like, wow, that's not like anything we do. I'm like, well, that's probably why I recovered faster.
No, you don't. Yeah.
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 I wasn't doing any isolated stuff. I was, basically making it. Yeah, I was doing a lot of double-legged stuff to make it catch up.
Well, hey, Chris, you know what? This is what most of these people don't understand, and I laugh because it's so pathetic. They don't understand the body is a unit, a whole unit.
Yeah.
It's. We can do it, but do you walk on one leg? No.
Right.
Do you walk on one arm? Do you just stand on your head all day? This is that. You know, I understand totally where you're coming from because. Go ahead. Say.
I was absolutely terrified to cut, even though.
Yeah.
I knew the leg was perfect. The joint was perfectly stable. The leg was 100% strong, but I was absolutely terrified to cut. I wouldn't do anything but in a straight line.
Yeah.
And what cured me of that was playing with the dog.
Really?
I was out playing with the dog, chasing the dog, and while I forget, playing with the dog, I completely forget about my knee.
There you go.
And it dawns on me, hey, I'm cutting left and right all over the place playing with the dog.
Yeah.
And at that point, it clicked. I'm like, okay, I'm healed. I'm at the absolute 100%, no big deal.
Yeah.
And but it took me, it took me until that. I wouldn't even try it. I wouldn't even test it for fear of blowing it up again.
Well, you know what the funny thing is too about the body and the mind, and I'll get right to you, is this. The mind and the body are always protecting you. People say, "Oh no, it isn't. No. Yes it is, because I think there's a point in time where it's almost you're getting signals. You know, obviously you went out and ran with the dog. You didn't think about it. Well, obviously the body and the mind were telling you, okay, Chris, it's ready to go. But it wasn't communicating with you the way you and I are talking right now. It communicated with you by you just going out naturally and doing something you could always do. See, these are the things people don't understand because they've shut that part of their life off. And all they do is keep going to another hospital or another doctor and say, look, I'm limping, I can't, well, and you know it, you and I both know you hear this a ton, and it really breaks my heart to hear it, because a lot of it could be fixed. Well, you're gonna have to live with it. Who the fuck wants to live with that?
No, no doubt.
Go ahead.
Your brain, will shut you down faster than your body will every time, if you don't discipline it. So that's... Yeah, so my rehab through this time was, okay, doing some of the stuff they're telling me to do, modifying some of it. Like one of the things they wanted me to, use a towel on the wall.
Yeah.
And just, and which is all fine and well, but I'm like, well, I could use a bamboo bar.
Yep.
And do that. It's the same basic thing, but now I don't know where the thing's going, so I'm going to have to fight it more.
Yep.
And I'm doing a two-handed thing, working it as my body normally would, as opposed to doing an isolation thing on one side.
Yep.
And, I'll do my extra work to try and get the arm caught up.
Sure.
As one-sided, But most of my rehab type stuff was two-handed stuff.
Yep.
To get it to work with the rest of my body like it's going to in my everyday life.
Yeah. That makes total sense. What do you think you learned? I mean, obviously you went a little bit off of what they wanted you to do because you know. What do you think you learned most about your body this time? With this injury?
Probably just that I need to pay attention to some of the smaller details a little more.
Yep.
There are things that it's easy to overlook.
Yep.
And just the tried and true of, pushing it. Just, it's like push the boundaries without being stupid.
Yeah.
Another thing, it's like, they're like, okay, here, do this exercise, but don't go over 5 pounds.
Right.
And it's like, okay, why? I mean, and as a lifter, when something's vastly too light.
Absolutely.
So it's like I leave it at 5 pounds. I crank out 25 reps. I don't feel a thing at all at any point. And I'm like, okay, this is pointless. I need to up the weight.
Yep.
So I go ahead and I up the weight a little bit. And it's like, oh, okay, you know what? Now, geez, gosh, at 7, at 8 pounds, now I'm actually feeling something.
Yep.
I can only get to 15. Okay, I need to work with that weight instead of the 5.
Right.
And keep going, keep going up to a certain point. I know that, they're talking to some more people, they're like, with the small muscles, with the rotator cuff muscles being fairly small.
Yep.
You don't want a ton of hypertrophy on those.
No.
Because they can mess up the joint. So I'm like, okay, I get that.
Yep.
And, so there's, you've got to strengthen within a certain, you don't want to start doing, the rotator cuff flies with 100 pounds.
No. And I don't think you need to do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the old saying is, and I live by this more than ever, it's always good to leave a little something in the gym.
Yeah. Leave a little something in the tank.
Right. Because if you're going balls to the wall with everything, you will go for a while like that. I don't care how seasoned you are. Yeah. But eventually that wall you're going to slam head first into, and here's what's going to happen. You're either going to back the stuff off for a while, you're going to take 10 days off, or you're going to get a tear or an injury that you're going to be mighty pissed off about. And you know something? You and I have talked about this too. We talk about the base system, the squat, the deadlift, the press, whatever one. But one of the things I think that gets very overlooked, because especially now, we hear people, everything is, okay, restorative. I totally believe in it, but you got to have this gadget, that gadget. You know what? Sleep is still the most restorative thing you can do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care how many impulses you're getting from a magnet or whatever. It might help, but you still need to sleep. And then, most of all, I don't hear many people talking about this other than we do these shows. Do you recognize, and I'm not going to use the word overtraining because that's way overused, but do you recognize the symptoms? Possibly you're not sleeping well. Maybe you're in the bathroom more than you should be. Maybe you eat like a friggin' 3 guys, but now you're eating like a 100-pound girl. All right? Oh, yeah. Something's going on there. So I think a lot, what it is? I think especially guys, myself included, you don't want to admit that suddenly you're kind of going the other way, all right? And if you don't listen to that stuff, that's when you get in trouble. So go ahead and take it.
That's funny. My training, the last year and a half, unless I had something specific I needed to shoot for.
Yep.
When I blew up my shoulder and I was trying to clean a particular weight because that was the contest weight.
Right.
And I just, my body wasn't prepared for it at the time. Typically my training, I don't have any numbers put into my training as far as what I want to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I go in my notes on my training, it's like, okay, I've got Anderson squats and I want to do, I just write down a hard 5. And what that, hard 5, but far, as an example.
Right.
Hard 5 times 5.
Yep.
And so my target is a hard 5 reps for 5 sets.
Sure.
So I work up to whatever it happens to be on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I get to where five reps sucks, okay, that's my working weight.
Yep.
Whatever it happens to be on that day. Some days I'm working up to my working weight for a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing set after set after set.
Yep.
Because I'm feeling good. I'm feeling strong. And so I'm just piling on plates and I'm keeping going and keeping going. And then finally, okay, you know, somewhere in the mid 700s, five reps feels awful.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, yep. Now that's my working set.
Yep.
And there I go.
Yep.
You know, other times, you know, I didn't sleep well, haven't been eating well.
Yep.
You know, I'm under stress from work or whatever it may be. I go in there and, right, you know, 500 pounds feels awful at five reps.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm like, okay, so this, you know, and I make notes about that in my training logs.
Yep.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, I only did, you know, 500, but, you know, how was I, you know, I have an area for how I was feeling, what was going on.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, you know what? I slept like crap for the last three nights, and lo and behold, I come in and I lift like crap.
All right, well, let's talk this, though, because this is my theory with it, and I've had people that agree and don't agree. Unless you tell it, how does the body know that you hit a 500 or a mid-sevens with a squat? It doesn't. I don't care what anybody says, right. Because you're the one that's putting the thumb in the eye of something like that. Yeah. It's like, so what I learned from all those things is you've got to go in there. Do the best you can do it that night. And I don't mean pad things because maybe you're a little bit tired. You go in, you push out what you can, and you get ready for the next outing. Because here's the deal that kills your training. And when we talk about stress, you know, especially you have an outside life like most people do, if you're going to add more stress when you're training, you're going to start seeing your weights backing down more and more because you're not going to be able to mentally – reconcile it with yourself. And that this is a big thing. How many people, well, you know, I know, I've been in meets, I've witnessed meets. Mm-hmm. I've trained with people, I'm sure like you, that when they're getting ready to go in a meet, they're killing everything. They're stalking everything. God damn it, they go in the meet and they bomb on everything.
Yeah.
And you know what that is? It's overthinking. maybe you had felt so good, you might have just pushed it enough over the threshold. Gosh. So when you went in, say, 5 days later for a meet or 7 days later, you didn't know, but your body just was not recovered. And this is what happens to people.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
The famous, I'm gonna try and hit a new PR 4 days before the meet.
Yeah, that's real bright, isn't it? Real bright. Yeah. If anything, you back off a little bit, and then you come in like thunder. See, that's the thing. People still don't understand what you've got to do, and no one's routine is perfect. All right, but the whole thing is, if you know you're getting close to something big, you've been training months for. Why the hell would you go for a PR now, man? Yeah. I mean, give me a break.
Trust the process.
As
one of my old mentors for wrestling used to tell me all the time, dance with the lady that brought you. That's what got you to that point. You stick with it. And then, you know what? If you don't do well in the meet, fine. Then go back and readjust and figure things out.
Yeah. You can always go in another meet. You don't need to go out and destroy something on you. All right?
Yeah.
And I understand. Look, we're all guys. We love the aggression. We love the metal. Everything, all right? I got it. But I think at some point in your training, especially if you're into this for the rest of your life, as we call physical culture here, you got to start looking at things like that. Because I'm sure you can, and I can tell you tons of guys, friends are just people you've seen in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
They're not around anymore. And I run into him sometimes. Well, you know, you didn't get married and have a family. I was like, it wouldn't have mattered because, and I still might get married. I don't know. The girl I marry, we got to have an understanding that I'm going to be able to train, okay? And I would assume anybody, like when I date now, if they don't train, I don't go. It's hard enough to maintain something as it is, but if you get somebody that doesn't get that whole thing, man, you know, you're not going to last very long with your girlfriend. So, and you know, and there's a lot of things to it. And, You know, you don't need to add layer after layer on yourself because you're never going to be successful in anything in life. And we know if you don't have the mental tenacity upstairs, that's why I got to laugh when they say weightlifters are all dumb. I was like, no, you're dumb because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, stupid. Yeah, you know, it's
clearly,
like that.
Clearly haven't met some of the ones I've met.
Absolutely. Let's talk about now. Okay, what are we looking at right now? You think full speed? Where? What are we looking at?
Right now, I'm actually at 10 and, you know, about 10 and a half weeks. They did strength testing on me, which is way ahead of schedule. But yeah, it might have had something to do with me showing him a video of me pressing a 200 pound log for 8 reps.
I'm sure they weren't. I'm sure they're like, oh my god, you know?
He was pretty freaked out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, so they went ahead and did the strength testing on me.
Yep.
And I'm at 65% as strong on my left side as I am on the right side now.
Awesome, man. So congrats.
Yeah, he said that's about where they expect people to be at around 8 months post-surgery.
Yep.
And that was at 10 and a half weeks. So probably he and I talked about it. He's like, we'll test you again here in another 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because if you're where I think you're going to be, which is probably going to be right around 80%, we're going to go ahead and call your PT done, and you're just, you know, released and onto your own.
So yeah, you're on the green light then at that point.
Yeah, and I'm now back to, you know, my objective the whole time from the outset was I want to be at about 12 weeks. I want to be able to train normally, probably with lesser weights. I expect that. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, 12 weeks, I want to be training normally. And then by 12 weeks after that, so a total of 24 weeks post-surgery, I want to be back to full strength.
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Yeah, and that's, that's coming together perfectly right now. I mean, my everything's working out just great.
Well, let me ask you this. When you officially, let's just say you get the green light in 4 weeks, all right? Are you going to just go back and start with the base movements again, or what do you got planned?
Pretty much, yeah. Most of my training's around the base movements anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not real fancy. It's one of my pet peeves is that people don't load things heavily enough.
No, I agree.
You know, I mean, if you go in, okay, such as, okay, when I go in and I do Anderson squats.
Right.
And I hit the heaviest 5 reps that I can and then try to duplicate that for 5 sets.
Yep.
When I'm done with that, I don't really need to go and do 5 other exercises to make sure I've hit my legs adequately. No. I've done it. So I do, I pick up, I'll do some ab work. I'll do some specific lower back work.
Sure.
Depending on how everything's going with that, I will do, since the Anderson squats tend to be hip dominant.
Yeah.
I'll do a quad dominant accessory and then some ab work and then maybe one other accessory, depending on where my weaknesses are at the time.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm.
You don't need to do anymore. That's the point. You've exhausted your body.
Yeah, and people, it's like, okay, why are you doing 10 different exercises?
Absolutely.
Here's an idea. Why don't you load the main basic exercise heavy enough?
Yep.
It pretty well fries the target muscle group and the target movement, and then you don't have to do a bunch of other stuff.
Plus, you got to watch out, too. I mean, Anderson squats, all the dead stop shit we do here, all that. Okay. That plays very hard on your central nervous system. And I'm telling you right now, if you're out trying to explode squats like that, and then you're going to say, well, I'm going to now go out and deadlift, good luck to you. All right. Like I said before in the beginning, you can get away with it for a little while. All right. Yeah. But you're not going to get away with it, man. And everybody say, well, you're 40 years old now. It's different. Okay. Go out at 25 and try to mat yourself to your maximum more than once a week. All right. You know what? You're flat on your friggin' back, man. You're done. So you're going to eat you're going to eat all that energy alive out of you, and all you're going to have is that nervous energy where you're not going to be able to do any. You will not be able to function. I can remember times when I was so blown out. I don't know if this. I'm sure you probably had it. I couldn't think straight sometimes, man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I was like confused, literally. Yeah. And I knew what was going on. I was like, okay, man, I don't care what you think. It's time you back off your food for a few days, everything. This is the thing. Give your body a rest and everybody. And I was the same way all the time. Oh my God, I'm going to lose size. No, you're not. If you lost size in 7 days, then all the years you did it, you didn't do it right, man. But. Yeah. I understand all these things, and if you read those muscle rags, you're going to be the most injured, overtrained fool you've ever been. You cannot ever discount the basics, the squat, the deadlift, whether you bench press or you go overhead or you do both in the pressing things. And, of course, we always talk about lots of other things, whether it's stones, big dumbbells, obviously, you work with, you know, farmer's walk, yokes, all those things have their place. Obviously, you love it. We're going to have to do a show, too, as I've been doing a lot of it. We got to do a show in the future on log training, man. I love all that stuff. But, so now, you know, you're telling people, I'm telling people, we're formulating this whole thing. How much do you really need? You know, how much do you want to gain? How much longer do you want to prolong your career? At that point now, you're doing the Anderson squats. Now you're going to be getting any other training. I mean, I know next year I'm sure you're just chomping at the bit to get into some type of meet. Are you thinking meets now for 18?
Oh, yeah. I'm planning on doing one at the end of the year.
No shit.
Yeah. I want to do one in December.
Now, is that a strongman? Strongman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hope for the holidays in St. Louis is the target.
All right.
And that's, I think, December 16th.
Nice.
And,
nice.
It's generally it's a record breaker event. You can put up, you know, you can pick a couple of lifts, and I'm going to plan to put up a good log. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully I can be back into the, you know, high 300s.
Nice.
And I want to try and take a shot at a 1,000-pound 18-inch deadlift, maybe more.
Wow!
But I've missed it twice.
Yep.
And I didn't realize I was as close as I was until I watched the video.
No shit, that's awesome, man.
So yeah, I watched the video. I'm like, shit, I was 2 inches away. Damn
you
it.
Got? Hey, I'll tell you right now, you've done it before. Put it out on Etched, man. People go nuts. I'm telling you, everybody's digging that page like crazy, and everything is all over on that. So anytime you want to put anything up, you're welcome to do it.
Oh yeah,
it's some fun shit, man. Yeah. All right, so we're talking now contest. Obviously, you've got your eyes set on December. I mean, obviously, you've progressed extremely well ahead of schedule. I mean. What's your advice to anybody that has major surgery like you had, Chris?
Take an early part of the time off to give it a little time to recover, and then push your PT and your doctor, especially if you're a lifter. They're more tour guides than they are taskmasters for you.
Yep.
At least they should be. They're going to point you in a direction. They're going to give you some ideas, and you take those ideas. Maybe tweak them a little bit to fit your situation, because you know, as a lifter, you're going to know how your body is. So, you know, when something's way too easy, push it, you know, push your boundaries without being stupid.
Yeah.
Challenge yourself a little bit of just, hey, you know what? Maybe I'm feeling good. Things are going along. Maybe I can do this. Yeah. I was a few weeks into the process, you know, things are moving along. I'm like, you know what? Hey, maybe I can just clean and press that empty log. Yeah. So, you know, 100 pounds, and I walk over, I tried it and I failed miserably.
Yeah.
I couldn't hold the clean position. I didn't have enough strength yet.
Yeah.
So, it's like, okay, I did it. I didn't die. And now I know I'm not quite strong enough for that. A couple weeks later, bam, you know, I was able to press it.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is too, Chris, the best barometer of anything is you.
Yeah.
And that's what people understand. They're constantly looking to a doctor, and I understand it. But the doctor can't lift the log for Chris. Chris has got to lift the log. And that's very important. I want to lay that down to people because, you know, I understand the apprehension when you go to lift something for the first time. I don't care who you are. I've never been afraid to admit it. I'm not saying it was fear, but it was like, what if this thing doesn't hold together, you know, and that's no good. But obviously you've driven through it. And another thing I want to ask you too, which is very important, with a doctor, because I can tell you my end too. What do you think is a? I mean, do we want to look at somebody that's had that has worked with athletes with sports, or does it? Or do you think it really matters? Because let's face it, someone that's a good surgeon is a good surgeon no matter what. But what do you feel about that?
I tend to lean more towards those that have worked with athletes.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, you know, as you said, a good surgeon is a good surgeon. And just because they've worked with athletes doesn't necessarily mean they're particularly good at what they do. But they have a better idea or a better chance of understanding the mindset of an athlete.
Yeah.
They have a better chance of understanding what it is you're trying to accomplish, that you're not just trying to rehab your shoulder so that you can sit on the couch.
Right.
And change channels on the TV.
Yeah.
You are actually trying to rehab it so that you can do something.
Yeah.
And do something that most people can't do. So, you know, that the vast majority of people really can't do. I mean, the average person walking the street is shockingly weak.
Oh, you're not kidding. And I'll tell you what, go anywhere around and the guys, young and old, the majority of them, they look bad, man. I mean, you know something? I'll be honest with you. I really, you know, we've talked about estrogens and diet and all that, but you know something? The mindset out there now is you don't have to be strong. Why do you want to be strong? You know, anybody that lifts weights or is somewhat manly is a bully. Society has sold the lie, especially to males, that there's no reason to be strong. Well, society's full of shit, number one. And I'm not saying that. See, this is where I have rubs with people. You know, you talk to people. Maybe they want to come on board and you train them or whatever. And, you know, the first thing out of their mouth will be like, well, I don't want to be doing what you're doing, you know, lifting stones or, you know, guzzling 10 gallons of protein down a day or whatever. And the first thing I'll say to them is, I'm not asking you to be that. And I said, this is a lifetime you're looking at here. This isn't the 90-day beach diet horse shit, all right? This is a guy that's had almost fucking frostbite on him because he loves training so much, all right?
Yeah.
So, you know, let's first of all, we get away from that whole thing. What we need to do here is figure out what we can do for you and what you can do for yourself to make yourself at least not a moving target out there. That's where it's been lost, because everywhere and everything you're hearing pretty much is there's no need for it anymore. You don't go out and hunt to live. You know, you don't have Indians coming at your door trying to take your head off. You know, all this bullshit. It has nothing to do with anything. You know, if I was going to bet, I think it's probably more of a dangerous world right now than ever that we've experienced.
As dangerous, yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And being strong, I mean, and it's not like you have to be inhumanly strong, but being strong within the context of your abilities is, you know, useful to have. I look at it at least to some degree. I look at being strong, and I look at also like self-defense training, or having your concealed carry, stuff like that, or at least just knowing how to use a gun, and use it competently.
Yep,
I look at it as a form of insurance.
Absolutely,
I would rather be strong and never need to use it than to come to a point in my life when I needed a fair amount of strength and I couldn't do what I needed to do.
Yep, exactly.
It's, with self-defense. Okay, I would rather never have to deal with that as opposed to have somebody pull a knife on me
and try and
take my stuff, or have somebody trying to pull my wife or my daughter down to an alley so that they can rape with their friends or whatever. And not be able to, you know, I would rather, you know, never have to use it. I'd rather have it and never have to use it, rather than be in that situation where I needed it and didn't have it.
Yeah, because if you got a call upon that, you know, it's always there. And, you know, it's nice to know that you're a strong individual, but the main thing is you're so strong mentally. Look at people's faces. You can look right in their eyes and pretty much see what they are. You know, I'll tell you this. The majority of guys I see now, number one, don't pay attention, I can tell, because most of the time they've got a phone in their face, okay? Yeah. Or they're doing something as in a text or whatever. You know, I learned one thing a long time ago when we started very young with martial arts. I remember
your surroundings.
That's number one. Know where the front door and the back door is, wherever you are, and never, ever walk with your head down. Right. Never, because right there you're a target, and people can recognize that. Do not be afraid to make eye contact. You don't have to stare them down, but let them know I'm there and I'm not afraid of you. All right,
there are bad people in the world.
You betcha.
There are people who will hurt you and do awful stuff to you and those you care about.
Yep.
For no other reason than that they can.
Yep. Absolutely. You know something? They're out there. And I just think that weightlifting and whatever else you want to get into can be not only your lifesaver, but it formulates an individual when you understand it properly and learn it properly and through the years discipline yourself more and more and win on multiple successes. You know something? You don't even attract people like that near you. You know what I mean?
They see somebody like that and they go the other direction.
Absolutely, because
they know it's, you know, they're people who seek to take advantage of other people like that tend to be cowards.
Oh yeah,
as a general.
Yeah.
So they're gonna look at somebody who's confident. They're gonna look at somebody who's got some strength, and they're gonna go, oh, there, that's not gonna be an easy mark. I'm going to go over here to the, you know, to this other guy that's clearly never touched, you know,
anything
heavier than a Starbucks latte. You know, as far as he goes, and he's staring at his phone and not even paying any attention to it.
Well, that's the thing, you know. Yeah. he's done power curls with an iPhone, and that's all he cares about, you know. Look, this is just the softening and the broadening of what's going on. It's a shame because there's so many people out there that if they really understood what we love to do, and you can take, you know, this is the thing. There's no other thing that I know out there that you can take it and bring it down to any level you want. Yeah, they'll say football or whatever to a point, but you're not going to become strong in those other sports, or you're only going to get to a certain level where in weightlifting you have a chance to start at the very bottom with a sand weight set like I did, and gravitate up and gravitate up and and what do you think that's doing to you every time you take another step, folks? It's building you mentally and spiritually too. All these things are happening, man. That's why I always say, if there's anything that I ever did the day I leave Earth, was I learned how to weightlift. That was by far, I don't care how much success we have with the businesses and everything else, weightlifting has been the state, besides my mother and father and obviously Jimmy and everything, it's been the greatest thing that I have ever done, because it has taught me so much and got me out of so many scrapes. And at times when I thought that there was no hope for whatever was going on, I could go out there and I could grab that barbell and suddenly the world became real good again. And I could think. And this is when I tell people, they'll look at me like, are you deranged? Well, yeah, maybe I am, but I'll tell you what. You want to know how to get real good and strong? Get your ass underneath the barbell and stand up with it.
Yeah.
That's all. It's not, let me tell you, it's very hard work. There's an awful lot of failure. There's an awful lot of success. There's days like anything where you're like, I don't know if I want to do this stuff anymore. These are common emotions with everything, all right? But no one thing. Mm-hmm. Once you get involved with this and really are truly committed to it, you ain't going back, brother. You ain't going back. And you know what? It's a lifelong thing, as we say in physical culture. And you know what? You'll live a good life, and when it's time to say goodbye, well, I don't know what, if it's Valhalla, heaven, whatever it is, but I'll tell you what, when I go, I'll be looking to the next tour with the weights and the stones. Chris, you know, summarize anything, give out any information. I'll give mine and hang on the line, please.
All right. Yeah, Dad, just push yourself a little bit more and aim for what's possible.
Yep.
Give yourself a shot to recover faster and better than what than what the statistics say you can, and do that for your training in general.
Hell yeah! What else you got?
Nah, that's pretty much it.
Is there anything you want to give out though? You got website and all that, right?
Let's see. OhioStrongman.org, and I still need to update that. It's kind of. I just need to get out and do it.
And, not a big deal. Yeah.
But, I need to update that. I do have a contest here in Lancaster. I have two contests coming up, actually. At the end of October, on October 29th, I've got a Static Monsters contest.
Oh, nice.
In Lancasterburg, Ohio. It's just a two-lift strongman contest, log press, and then an 18-inch axle deadlift.
Nice.
And they're doing stuff all around the world with it. They've got a bunch of people in Australia, a bunch of people across the U.S. I think there's some people in England also, and they're all doing the same two events on the same day.
Yep.
And you kind of compare it worldwide.
Oh, nice.
It's a cool concept.
Hey, let me ask you this before you go on. I don't know if it hasn't or what. Do you think overhead is making a comeback?
I think it is a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's a especially the strict press.
Yeah,
is really a. I think that's the deadlift of the upper body.
Hell yeah!
It's a more pure test of strength or a display of strength than really anything else you can do overhead.
Without a doubt, especially trying to roll that log up the front of you, man.
Yeah.
Then set, holy shit. You know what else that reminds me of, too, and I've been doing this now for the last year. I remember reading a lot of the old strength and health and things of that nature, and they would talk about the York picnics where they would have, obviously, other than benching, it'd be curling and stuff. And what I really liked about it was you had to put your back against the wall.
Yeah.
See what happens to your curl then, folks. It ain't going to be what you think it is. I got news for you. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I also have one other contest on that is November. Look at the actual date. November 11th. That's a Saturday, and that's a benefit contest in Lancaster, Ohio, on benefiting veterans.
Yep.
We're giving all the proceeds to Honor Flight Columbus.
Nice.
And that takes veterans from Vietnam, World War II, things like that, around to the memorials.
Cool.
So the surviving folks from those wars, it takes them around to the memorials so they can see them.
Nice.
And it's a pretty awesome charity.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, we're also collecting just small items at the contest to give out to with people we've got that are deployed out, way out in the middle of nowhere where they don't have BX, they can't get things. So it's stuff like, toothpaste and mouthwash.
Sure.
Just little odds and ends, stuff that they have a hard time getting. So, get that out to those guys. So it's going to be a pretty cool contest.
That's real nice, though, man. I mean, things like that we take for granted. I mean, these guys can't even get it,
Yeah,
It's awesome. What else you got?
That's all I've got on the horizon, really, that I'm promoting.
Okay. Well, we'll have you on before then anyways. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. before I go into there, I don't want to forget this either. I didn't say this in the beginning. As everyone knows, FBC and M&M is affiliated with Sand Dune now. That's our good friend Matt Dahl. And this is one incredible piece of equipment. I've said I think it's only second to the barbell, and I'm not kidding you when I say it. This will build your lower body like you wouldn't believe, and we're using it for our upper body too. If you've had any type of foot ankle injury, you're going to walk like you never have before. Matt's involved in so many things, whether it's in Parkinson's or people that have neuropathy. But we have found this. We have so many people affiliated with this now. John Bruni and I are doing some things right now where we're not only doing write-ups and film, we're probably going to certify people next year. This thing is that big. It's like walking in sand, or you can compare it if you've ever slept on a Tempur-Pedic bed. This thing is unbelievable, and we're going to talk more and more about it. We've done four shows. So John's in with us, Eric Gutman, Donna Castorino, Dr. William Wong, Chris Pate, Dr. Jeffrey Smith, Dr. Dale Dugas, Frank DeMeo, and the list goes on and on and on. We've got a winner here. So for this month, we call it Stepper in the Fall because it's called the Sand Dune Stepper. This is regularly $279 plus shipping. We're going to run this sale till midnight on Wednesday of next week. You can get this Sand Dune Stepper for $219 plus shipping. And I'm telling you right now, I am using this between my sets of training, and I'm using it on the upper body too. And we have talked about a couple prototypes we want to do with it. You're going to start hearing noise of this everywhere and soon. So if you'd like to get it, you will hear it in not only the show I'm doing with Chris right now. I did it in with our good friend Mike Gillette earlier this afternoon. So like I said, it's a hell of a deal, and you'll have till Wednesday at midnight for that. Okay, so don't forget Winter Circle, 12 modules. You get number 13 free. As I said, get off the fence. And I'm telling you, this is my personal belief. This is what I put out. This is what I do here at the FBC Stone and Steel Yard. There's no bull with this. This is 100% complete. I know there's not video to it. It's all audio. But you know something? The smart lifter's got to learn first. Because if you got all video, anybody is going to jump to the video. I mean, if you've never done dips or pullovers or things of that nature, a high shrug, you better get educated because, you know, you heard Chris and I talk. If you do things you don't know how to do, you can get into some trouble. We don't want any of that. We want to see you lift for your entire life. So check that out. Also, too, contributions. We talked about it, 25, 50, and 100. It connects right to PayPal. It's one click. You're in. And we'll set everything up. Don't be shy. I'd love to work with you. It's a great feeling to help people, believe me. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com. Look at all the podcasts that Chris and I have done. Also, too, you can sign up for our free newsletter right on the homepage. That's the only place you can sign up. It'll go right to my MailChimp account. That's it. And so everybody knows, you know, the 27th is our anniversary. We'll be up 3 years. I've got about 800 shows already. I don't know anybody in the industry that works their ass off like me. And eventually, if the way things are going, there could be a possibility even of maybe a live call-in show by the end of the year. I don't want to say that for sure because there's too many things going on right now. But if not, you'll see it in the first quarter of 18. So stay tuned because there's going to be some big changes. That's what I'm doing. That's where my time is. Besides going out now, I have to go out and get money. It's the only way we can keep the business up and running. Also, too, you know, give us a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher. That's what I've gotten. I thank everybody for that. AHA Radio, that's where you can get us on your radio in your car. All the new cars have the ability to get podcasting. It's called AHA. All you look for is Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Chris and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Also, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of wisdom. I'm telling you right now, inspiration will save your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day. That might be all they get. And if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, push it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening and has been a guest on Eminem from the beginning, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. You will hear that till the day we go off here, my friend. Frank Klein, my greatest marketing business college professor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor, who we just lost 3 years ago last month. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. Say that to yourself on your best or worst day and tell me you're not smiling. All I can tell you is I miss John and Fridays when I'd go over there. What a class guy he was, man. I mean, those are the people. Boy, oh boy. The good Lord took him way too early. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 more of your friends we're coming because we're not going to kick your door in. We will blow the roof right off your house. Be part of the family. Join the revolution. As the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness, and we take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And before I say goodbye to Chris and we sign off, men, get rid of the 9-month belly and the spare tire. Women, you know, honor your men. Stick with your men the same way men stick with your wives. Don't let these vampires drive wedges between you. Remember, you got sons and daughters, nieces and nephews and family. Be the example. It's very, very important, and we want you with us for the next 30 years, believe me. Chris, it's always an honor to have you on. It was a very interesting show, and we'll have this show up Monday night, sir.
Oh, cool.
All right. So, for Chris Vaccio, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We'll have Chris on next month if we can pull this off. And you know what? You've got today, tomorrow, and the rest of your life to make a difference. Go out and be something. You're a winner, and you're a champion, and never, never forget that. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.